Over the past decade, it's happened 9 times around the country, a Catholic archdiocese has filed for bankruptcy. In each case, the filing followed multi-million-dollar claims by victims of sexual abuse. Well, the Archdiocese of Milwaukee is one of those cases, but it stands out because the church there is playing legal hardball. It's trying to dramatically limit the claims of 570 people who say they were abused. Chuck Quirnbach of Wisconsin Public Radio has the story.
Despite the bankruptcy, Catholic churches in Milwaukee are still open for worship. It's Mass at St. Vincent Pallotti Church, and about 200 parishioners sing, pray, and then watch a videotaped appeal from Milwaukee Archbishop Jerome Listecki. The church is beginning an annual fund drive. Listecki makes it clear that money will go for programs like Catholic schools and adult daycare and not be part of the year-long Chapter 11 bankruptcy case.
Your gift will be segregated from other assets of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and used solely to support the appeal-funded ministry.
Not far from St. Vincent Pallotti, 54-year-old Mark Salmon stands in his living room and talks about his early childhood. He describes it as a pretty innocent time. Salmon holds a picture of himself at age 7, standing next to then-Milwaukee Braves baseball star Hank Aaron.
I had, of course, my Milwaukee Braves jacket on, my glove, pretty much like the one Henry Aaron had, which he signed for me, and I also have a book, The Henry Aaron Story, that he also signed for me.
Salmon says his boyhood innocence and fondness for the Catholic Church ended about a year later, when his male Catholic grade school teacher sexually assaulted him. Later, a school official allegedly did the same. Salmon has gone on to become a financial advisor with a family of his own. He says cover-ups by the archdiocese are what prompted him to file a claim in the bankruptcy case.
I'm in it for the accountability. I'm in it for all the other survivors also. There are so many survivors that are not in the position that some of us are in to articulate their feelings and to demand accountability.
Last week, the Milwaukee abuse victims won a significant procedural victory in federal bankruptcy court. Judge Susan Kelly ruled against motions by the church that would have blocked hundreds of victims from pursuing their claims. Earlier, Kelly had ordered the archdiocese to encourage victims to file, so when the church attempted to knock out many of the cases, Arthur Budzinski was angered. Mr. Budzinski is one of about 200 former students at a Milwaukee school for the deaf who say they were abused as children. Budzinski's daughter, Gigi, interpreted for him.
It's almost like Archbishop Listecki lied. He's breaking the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie.
Church spokeswoman Julie Wolf says Archbishop Listecki is trying to strike a balance between two competing needs.
And I think the Archbishop has always stated that our goal is to fairly compensate victims and continue our essential ministries of the church.
Wolf says the Milwaukee Archdiocese has offered to set up a $300,000 therapy fund for abuse victims who would be removed from the bankruptcy case. Victims' advocates say that amount would be far too small. University of Wisconsin-Madison law professor Jonathan Lipson has been closely following the various diocesan bankruptcies. He explains the bitterness in Milwaukee.
If you have people who for 15 years say, we've been trying to get the church to recognize the harm that was done to us, and for 15 years the church simply refuses, you know, that can create a lot of animosity.
Professor Lipson says the U.S. bankruptcy system is ill-equipped to handle cases that involve hundreds of people who say they were sexually abused. But for victims in Milwaukee, many who were abused decades ago, this is the court of last resort. For NPR News, I'm Chuck Quirnbach in Milwaukee.
Our program is directed by Monica Evstatieva, edited by Corey Turner and Allison McAdam, and produced by Matt Martinez. The technical director is Stu Rushfield. We had engineering support from Chris Nelson and Peter Alina.
Our planning editors are Jerry Holmes and Julia Buckley. The staff includes Graham Smith, Franklin Cater, Jessica Deal, Gabe O'Connor, Carol Klinger, Viet Le, Jennifer Longmire-Wright, and Rhonda Ray.
Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. The managing editor for NPR News is David Sweeney. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.